Feel like your life's too busy to go back to school? With Miller Mott College's online programs, you decide when and where you learn. Gain invaluable insight from industry-experienced instructors, all while building connections with peers who share your drive for success. Our team is only a call or email away to give you the academic and career support you deserve at every step. Have time for what matters while still reaching your goals. Visit miller-mott.edu. That's miller-mott.edu.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're going to go and listen to a clip. And in this clip, here you're going to hear Candace Owens and also Alex Jones, but talking about the murder, some things have to do with the murder of Charlie Kirk. Now, there's always been a lot of conspiracy theories out there, and of course, Israel gets blamed for a lot of things. But I think, you know, when it comes to the Mossad, the Mossad has not got a good reputation. They've got about the same reputation as the CIA. In fact, they've done each other, I think, at times. But anyhow, we're going to get to that, but I just want to give you here an announcement. Courageous Faith Rally, U.S. Senate resolution declaring Tuesday, October 14th, National Day of Remembrance for Charlie Kirk. So on October 14th, here in Geauga County, in Chardon, Ohio, at 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m., there's going to be a rally. So come on out. And that is, again, October 14th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at 424 North Street in Chardon, Ohio. And that's, again, Tuesday, October 14th. Now, we're going to go and listen to this clip. And we'll go ahead and I'm going to probably play the first 5 or 6 minutes of it. Then we'll take it from there. Go ahead.
I've known Candace since she exploded on the scene, because we were one of the first to ever get her on. And how she woke up in the leftist cult. And she caught liberals that wanted to control what she was doing with the social media thing she launched. Jussie Smollett-ing her, sending her white supremacist threats and all this, and found out, because they messed up and left some of the metadata in there, that it was the feminist group that was trying to take over her organization. So that was kind of a wake-up call for Candace. And there she is. That's like 9, 10 years ago, longer. So she has a lot of credibility. She's a very truthful person. I disagree with some of her views and overall solutions she might come up with, but we all disagree. I mean, I'll have one opinion a month ago and kind of change it a month later, but, you know, but we're about 95% aligned. But on integrity, she's 100. And boy, does she lay the traps for him. She comes out and says, yeah, Charlie was calling me, wanting me out of his events, you know, again and all the rest of it. And he was also really concerned about the Israel lobby coming after him. And they said, you're a liar. Charlie didn't like you. Charlie didn't like you. Charlie didn't call you. He didn't text you. And so she let him say that for a few weeks and then released it, the text. And then she said, yeah, he was really upset with the Israel lobby and said he was breaking with them entirely. He wouldn't be bullied by them in the weeks before he was killed. They said, you're a liar. That's not true. So she released those 2 days ago. Now she says she has the proof, and it's text messages, that he feared for his life in the 2 days and the day before he was killed. And predictably, they're already saying it. She's a liar. And then she's going to release those. And she's also sent out the dead man switch, just like James O'Keefe did to myself and a few others right before he released the stuff on Prince Andrew, which is dangerous, by the way, proving that he indeed raped the girls and covered it up. People are like, we already know that. How's that daring? Oh, you're going to release the total proof on the King of England's brother? Yeah, that's dangerous. So those of you saying O'Keefe doesn't risk his life and all the stuff he's been through and been arrested and indicted and raided, try putting on his shoes for a while before you sit around and say that he didn't do anything. Man's a champion. But the point is that this is a real dead man switch. She has sent out it to the Tate brothers, Dave Smith, Max Blumenthal, Tucker Carlson, and others. Well, I'm trying to get her on for weeks. I'm a little bummed out she didn't send it to me. Because I'd like to stand with her, but we do stand with her. So they're already out saying she's a liar. She's going to release that. Now, this doesn't prove Israel killed him or a lobby around that. Because I've seen no evidence. You know, they said his security detail was Israeli. They weren't. It was just the first knee-jerk reaction. I said, you can certainly say Israel's a suspect, but I said, I need to see proof. We need to figure out the ballistics and who really shot him and all that before we then, you know, start saying, okay, you know, motive. I mean, you can always look at motive, but first, with the forensic situation, are they covering it up? What's the ballistics? That's just where I am. I'm not going to just say something because people think it. But when she releases this, she's got it. Make no mistake. Just like she keeps bringing the goods, and she just sets the hook with the worm on it or puts the mousetrap out with the cheese on it, and they come out and say, you're a liar. And she goes, boom. You're a liar. Boom. You're a liar. Boom. You're a liar. Boom. Bam. So, and she'll let them, you know, for a week or so kind of stew and say she's a liar, and then she'll just release it. And then what she's saying is, you kill me, it doesn't matter, it's coming out. And the word is, he specifically thought Israel was going to kill him. Even when Michael Savage first, a few months ago, said, Netanyahu needs to go on my show. During the break, he goes, man, I hope Mossad doesn't kill me. Prue saw it. It was on the feed. He didn't say it was off record. It was during the break. So there are a lot of groups that want Charlie killed. He was defeating the Democrats with TPUSA, got over 2.5 million people to vote conservatively for Trump, was moving the needle big time, more than anybody with young people on colleges. So I see them as the motive, and they said, we want Charlie dead. They said, you know, they celebrated when he was dead. He had like 6 Trantifa. Say, Charlie would be dead tomorrow. Then they said, see, we told you. And that was in the town. So, you know, we got Trantifa, the tranny Antifa, running around engaged in all sorts of violence everywhere. So I was like, okay, yeah, I mean, that fits. That'd be the prime suspects. But now, 4 weeks in, it's a month today. I said, if I start seeing evidence of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu is fully capable of it. That's Mr. 9/11 right there. The neocons, Mr. Standout, October 7th. I said, I'll go there. I don't think that this is, when this comes out, is the proof Israel did it, but it moves the needle over there. And I don't have to say, oh, I apologize, I was wrong, because I never said that. I said, I started seeing some evidence of that. Then I'll go there.
All righty, there you go. Now, here, when it comes to, I'm not going to get into what Netanyahu, I know that there were a lot of people that said that Netanyahu was involved with the 9/11, and I do know that it was kind of strange because on that very day, there was an Israeli camera crew set up on buildings across from the World Trade, filming everything already. So there was, I mean, 9/11, obviously, you know, that was one that, I don't know how many people believe that was, that things went the way they are supposed to have been. But anyhow, I know when it comes to the Mossad, Netanyahu trusts them about as much as Trump trusts the CIA, okay? What happens is they've gotten out of control. They've become an entity within themselves. You know, instead of working, you know, for their country, for their government, they often have become an entity within themselves. They're a government within a government. And so, anyhow, there's a lot of these theories. some of this stuff, though, like they're saying, which, you know, you just don't even want to believe that there's anything to do with it. But Candace Owens come out. Now, I can understand why she's been the way she is, because, you know, the deep state has a way of doing things. You know, we've experienced it here ourselves, live on air. There's ways that they can reach you with sound waves and all different types of things, and of course always trying to take you down. And the technology nowadays out there is just, you don't know. And then, of course, you've got the spiritual side of that involved too. But anyhow, when they were talking about his wife possibly being in on that, I would even hate to think of such a thing. I wouldn't want to believe that.
That is an upsetting thought, isn't it? I mean, huge. You know.
Yeah, and that's what. And one of the things they said, when Trump paid for that funeral, that the big, and what happened was, at that, he. You know, him and Charlie were very, very good friends, okay, and Charlie's wife, too. And then he hugged her, you know, just like a father would hug a daughter. I mean, there's no, that wasn't, you know, I mean, there was nothing out of the ordinary, but, you know, and I know that she was very distraught, but she kept going back and hanging on, kind of clinging to him, which, gave some people the idea that there was something going on there. I don't know. But I don't know if you saw that, Wendy, or...
I saw them on stage, and, I saw them hugging, and she kind of put her head on his shoulder. I did see that.
I didn't get
the impression that, you know, it was anything, you know, hanky-panky about it, though.
No, you know, I didn't either. But the way that they're making that is because... You know, that he kind of tried to, like, they separated a little bit, but she kept going back, and that's what got some people, you know, saying this. But I kind of think that, you know, the woman just lost her husband. He just got murdered in front of, you know, I think she would have a right to be distraught, right? And
I have heard from some people, everybody has an opinion on this. They felt that she was too composed, that they thought that, you know, the average person couldn't have, you know, gotten up and talked like that. But, you know, she's used to being around media, you know. She's kind of been groomed for it, so she handled that, you know, just like she would handle, you know, probably an average work day.
I think she was a model, too, I think. Wasn't she Miss...
Was it Miss Arizona? She won Miss Arizona.
I think it was Miss Arizona.
And yeah, she did modeling, but she also had, I think, a nonprofit, some sort of nonprofit she was running.
Yeah, well, you're right. That's one of the things that they're saying is that she kind of, all of a sudden, she was in the driver's seat kind of quickly. That's what a lot of people think. So, but I, you know. You know, you don't know how people are going to act. You can't, you know, people act differently. And when it comes to something like that, you know, it's really hard to judge, you know, because, you know, you and I don't know how you're going to act, right? I mean, you know.
People handle stress and grief very differently. So, some people... totally shut down. You know, they just can't do normal functions. They couldn't, you know, go to work or deal with family issues, and you have to get someone to come help you. But, you know, Erica seems to be very comfortable in front of the camera because, you know, like I said, she's been kind of groomed for that kind of position.
Yeah. I'm comfortable in front of the camera, but the effects aren't the same at all.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to go there. Let's go somewhere else. Let's see. I know what we'll do. Okay. Here, did you know that Jonathan Rupenshot was charged with the Palisades, California fire that destroyed all of that and killed those people?
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, he did. And what happened with that fire, remember, they were able to put it out. When it was first started, they put it out. But they, you see, in California, especially when you have those certain trees that have a lot of roots that go underground, the fire can get in those roots and actually burn underground, okay? Especially with those big redwoods.
Doesn't fire need oxygen? How is that happening?
Apparently it gets enough oxygen some way, but it doesn't. It actually burns underground with the tree roots. It comes up, you know, burns the roots and the dead leaves, the dry leaves, things that are still there underground. And that's what happened, because the fire departments thought they had put the fire out, but some strong winds came in and kicked it up, and it started, and then when it started up the second time, it was worse than the first. So, I know those big redwood trees. Yep. When there's been a number of those where there's been a fire underground and with those roots and the burn and killed the big trees. The bark on those trees were. Pardon?
I was gonna say, have you been to the redwood forest out there in California?
Oh yeah, I've been out there.
They're huge. Those trees are huge.
Yep. And so, you know, if I was a redwood tree, I'd be huge too. But I'm not. You know that.
I think I saw that back in the '60s, where you could still drive a car through one of the trees, but they won't let you.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Yeah. I took my son through that one tree there. Yeah, I took my son. We took a walk through there. Yeah. It was still alive. The tree was still alive. They drew See, that part of that was rotted there at the bottom, and that, you know, again, like I said, so they cut all that out, but the tree was still alive because it still had on the outside the roots. Anyhow, there has been a mass firing at the FBI. All of those agents that took part in operation, what they called the Arctic Frost, Operation Arctic Frost. And here they've been fired en masse. Then, do you know what Operation Arctic Frost was?
I believe so.
That was
FBI kind of cover up something. I don't remember what it was labeled.
Arctic Frost is, they had the operation, it was the AR-16, okay, which was the group of FBI agents. What they were doing is they were monitoring 8 United States senators. Ted Cruz was one, Josh Hawley was another, John Kennedy was another. They were monitoring, they were eavesdropping, getting all of their emails and everything, because they were, remember, the head of that committee, the old timer, what is his name, I'm having, he's the head of that committee, he's the oldest guy in the Senate right now. But anyhow, the FBI was finding out Biden instructed, the FBI and the CIA to find out exactly what they knew about the Biden crime family. And where was the investigations? What evidence did they have? And try to shut it down, whatever they were doing, so they investigated. They were going through all of these senators, their emails, their private, their phone calls. They tapped their phone lines and everything. And so all of those FBI agents, which was a lot of them that were involved in that, were fired.
Well, yeah, because they did something illegal.
Yep. And so, yeah, what they were doing, they knew what they were doing was illegal. They were giving them information on American citizens and on the Republican Party, and they were doing it under Biden's orders, and they knew that that was illegal. So they were supposed to say, no, we won't do it. There you go. No. I was going to tell you about. The Supreme Court will hear a case coming up fairly soon on Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act, and they're probably going to gut that. They're probably going to take that out. Do you know why, Wendy?
Why?
The Democrats have turned that around to use it in the way of gerrymandering to make it do exactly the opposite of what it was supposed to do. And so what it did is it discriminates against white, you know, where you have areas that are mostly white people, okay? And so here they're going to be hearing that case, and if they strike that down, like the most likely they're going to strike it down, okay, because of what it's done, you know, with all the, it's helped with all of the election fraud. And so what they're doing, because they got all the proof, the evidence, if they strike that down, that could add 16 to 20 new seats in Congress for the Republicans. And so just by changing the districts in that. So, and that's what, Trump's going on the offensive. He's not, you know, waiting for the 2026 to midterm. He's going after the offensive right now, because usually the party in power, whoever's in the White House, usually loses during midterms. But right now, the Republicans are geared to pick up a number of seats and not lose any. So let's hope that that turns out that way.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, that's what's going on in that area there. Did you know that, that was one of the ones I was going to ask you about, to see if you knew that. Do you know who Al Naiba is?
No.
Or what Al Naiba? Al Naiba is a magazine that's put out by ISIS. It's a publication for ISIS, the terrorist group, and it gives instructions on how to attack churches and synagogues. It's a magazine that tells you what to do, what to look for, how to plan it. And every time one of their publications comes out, there's an uptick of attacks on churches. And so they're looking to go shut that down. Al Naiba down. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it needs to happen.
Yep. Right on top of that. And so we got a couple articles we want to do real fast. Since you're here, we'll get your input. You and Style. I haven't heard from him lately. Do you think he's still with us?
I'm still here.
All right.
You didn't want to get me ranting about the clip we played. It would have taken the whole hour.
Well, go ahead, and you can if you want to. You can rant a little bit. What are they called?
I wanted to ask you, have you heard anything that Candace has any hard evidence? Like, she's making accusations pointing at Erica. Does she have any evidence of what she's saying?
Well, so far, she's had all of the text messages that she's claimed to have. She's had them all. And anyhow, she also had recordings. And so she claimed that she had evidence that Erica was involved in that. I don't know. See, now.
I was going to say, what would be the motive, you know?
See, from what I've seen of the text, because I read through the text and I watched the Candace Owens interview, I didn't see anything that directly talked about Erica being related to this. Just
not in this one. No, there's a number of other ones that have come out already. Yeah, I mean, that was one of the first things that she came out with, was saying that right after it happened, she was like beside, Candace Owens was beside herself, and apparently her and Erica weren't, you know, weren't very good friends or whatever.
But, well, I know she wasn't invited to the memorial. She mentioned that.
Hmm.
Yeah, she wasn't able to attend.
When she claimed that her and Charlie were very, very close.
Well, and if you see some of the clips, you know, they have on social media, they would goof around a lot, you know. So they were, you know, kind of friends that way. And they did debate people well together. They made a good team, I thought.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I don't, maybe there was some jealousy there. I don't know.
That can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, so... You think that Styles bloviated enough? Style, have you bloviated?
I don't think I've even begun.
All right. Well, let's move on to James Comey pleads not guilty to charges of obstructing and lying. James Comey, the ex-FBI chief who recently went to social media with a message suggesting a threat against President Donald Trump, posting then pulling the image of the seashells placed to carry the message, 8647, has pleaded not guilty to charges of obstruction and lying. He was indicted for his actions during the Democratic weaponization of the federal government against Trump, which included fabrications about Trump 2016 campaign links to Russia and more. And,
well, for them to get an indictment, they had to have some compelling evidence that's what he was doing.
Well, that he admitted doing this stuff in his own book. Plus, he went out there on those... he admitted...
Well, it's not real smart, man, to kind of, you know, sing like a canary in your own book.
Yeah.
What is that?
John McTurnan thinks that he's having some kind of mental issues because he has
yeah.
said some he's said some very strange things. Anyhow, the Washington Examiner noted that he was indicted last month by U.S. Attorney Lindsey Holingen, making him the first former FBI director to be criminally charged after leaving office. He's accused of lying to Congress and obstructing a congressional proceeding. The evidence released so far comes from the government's own documentation about what he knew and when the video of his own claims about those events. Let me stop right there for just a minute. Chris Ray's in a lot of trouble now, too, because Chris Ray got caught. He knew all about this, the operation that we just talked about, Arctic Frost. And he lied under oath, saying that he had no knowledge that there were almost 300 insurgent FBI agents in January 6th. They out there to cause a riot. Okay, and so he lied. He said he had heard that some of the agents might have been there, but guess what they did. They found the emails. They have what you call burn bags, where they had this stuff. They found all the evidence showing that Chris Ray was giving orders, okay? Of course, guess where he was getting his orders from? Merrick Garland.
Mama?
Merrick Garland, okay? And so have you noticed that Garland has kind of faded? Garland hasn't been around? Now, a number of these people, they've pulled their passports. They can't leave the country. And I think Garland is one of those. And so, yeah, so Garland's been very quiet. He's been laying low but because they got all kinds of evidence on Garland. They got a lot of evidence on him. And the other one was the Mariarcus. You've noticed Mariarcus has kind of disappeared? Boy, do they have the goods on him, too, big time. So they're going one at a time after him, starting with Comey. And Did you notice that one other thing, that how Bolton, all of a sudden, Bolton is quiet. Bolton's not talking to, he's actually gone on some interviews, but he's not talking about any of this stuff. And why is that? Why isn't Bolton in jail right now? Why? Because they caught him with classified documents. There's one reason, to my mind, and this is that I believe that he's not in jail, is that he's singing like a canary. That's what I believe. We'll be back after this.
I feel so fine, this New Age church of mine. The service is laid back. But still I know you reap what's sowed, and I can't stop thinking about all of that. Well, I remember when God was praised, but that's not what the New Age church is for. The truth is fine, but it's long gone. The gospel's truth, but it ain't wanted anymore. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died. And he has risen on high. And if you're lost, then you had better know why. Believe him only still. Did you ever read about a child who seemed to be a king? And he became one. Well, he's coming back to judge the world, and he and the Father are still the very same one. But I've had a fearfulness deep inside, and I've cried because I'm so afraid to know. And I'm not a man to kind of be scared till I go to heaven, or as I fear, below. I am, he said. You had better care. Is it a judgment for all? You will be there. I am, he died. He is risen on high. If you're lost, then you had better know why. I am, he said. You had better care. There is a judgment for all. You will be there. I am, he died.
You know, there's a message in that song. There really is. Anyhow, we're back in the, you know what, Wendy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't let a lot of people know this, but I've embedded style in with the Mossad and with a life insurance policy. Good one, yeah. But anyhow, so I'm going to just let him loose and let him know what he knows. So go ahead and do it.
I mean, after this little rant, it might be beneficial to have a life insurance policy just for safety's sake. that being said, I am not suicidal to anyone listening. I will say, to start this off, this is obviously just my opinion and what I've gathered from this, but it's a topic that I've been researching heavily and looking into different aspects of since the assassination. I think it's very interesting, and I can't speak to the character of Candace Owens. Obviously, I don't know her personally or the legitimacy of these text messages, but from what I've seen, it seems like a legitimate source. It seems like it's been corroborated by fellow reporters and journalists who I consider reliable sources. I think it's very interesting that 24 hours prior to Charlie Kirk's assassination is when these texts are allegedly sent, these texts that include him saying that he's getting threats and backlash from Jewish donors to Turning Point USA and to Charlie Kirk for making comments of him being skeptical of Israel's practices. I think it's very interesting that same 24 hours prior to the assassination that he was doing a live Charlie Kirk show with Ben Shapiro as a guest on that show, and he made comments questioning the credibility or the legitimacy of Israel in their loyalty to the United States, why we keep delivering funding back and forth between Israel, and why it's okay for Israel as a nation to continue to bomb and kill Christians, women and children. I think it's very interesting that after that, just 24 hours after those comments, is when this assassination took place. I'm not directly linking anything. I'm saying that's interesting. Come to present day, right now, I think it's very interesting that following the Charlie Kirk assassination and following this interview and all of these events that have taken place, that Israel as a nation is now working with the United States FBI and Director Kash Patel to fight, quote, conspiracies that are being spread on social media about Israel. Any kind of thing that you post linking Israel to any of these events that I have just discussed is deemed as conspiracy, and you are deemed as anti-Semitic, and your account is flagged and taken down. That is the goal of this partnership between Israel and the United States FBI and Director Kash Patel, who is the one who approved this mission. I think it's very interesting as well that since this took place, Israel has invested not hundreds, not thousands, but millions to billions of dollars into social medias such as TikTok, such as YouTube, to have direct control over the content that is published and posted. And I think it's very interesting that as of today, clips of the interview between Ben Shapiro and Charlie Kirk just 24 hours prior to his assassination, when he is questioning the ethics of the Israeli government, is being taken down as we speak, has been taken down from the original source to my knowledge, and reposts are being actively taken down offline. I think all of that is very interesting. I think that the conspiracy theory of Charlie Kirk's wife being in on this or having something to do with it is largely a distraction piece and a very sloppy one at that. I think it's to get people off of the topic of Israel when it comes to it. And I think if there is any truth to it, that his wife somehow had something to do with this, which I do not believe. I think the only possible link that could be made, in my opinion, is she knew Charlie's concerns about Israel and about his donors threatening him and threatening to pull funding because of his comments.
All right. Well, he's quite spunky, isn't he, Wendy?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, do you want to go ahead and comment on his comments?
Well, he seems to be more up on the topic than me. I mean, I haven't really delved into it, you know. I'm busy. I'm busy, and I know what happened, but I really haven't spent a lot of time like investigating it.
All righty. Do you have any herbs to treat spunkiness?
No.
Okay.
I kind of like spunky.
Okay. You trying to get me a sedative? What's happening here?
We'll move on. You guys aren't ready for this. Okay, let me go back to Jim Comey because I got to finish this here. He says, Comey already has begun trying to build a public support, claiming in statements that he's released that he's innocent and eager to go to trial. The charges say he willfully and knowingly made false statements during a 2020 Senate Judiciary Committee hearing when he denied he authorized the FBI office. You see, here's what he did. He denied it there at the hearings, but the knucklehead went on his talk shows and admitted it, okay? The official act as an anonymous source in media reports on the FBI's investigation that widely was misunderstood to refer to Trump. No, you had Strzok and some of his own other agents underneath him, they've admitted it. They've admitted that that Comey told them, go out there and leak this to the media. They've come out, and so now what's going to happen here? When they are they going to get to court and admit the same thing? Prosecutors charged Comey actually approved a subordinate to serve as a source for that material. He could be in prison for 5 years if convicted just on that. He reportedly was allowed the special privilege of entering the courthouse where he entered his plea through a little-used entrance avoiding video cameras stationed at the front door. Comey's indictment represents a stunning turn for a man who once had the nation's premier law enforcement agency and has long been both vilified and praised for his handling of politically charged investigations. As FBI director, he angered Democrats by reopening the probe into Hillary Clinton's emails shortly before the 2026 election, and infuriated Republicans by pursuing the Trump-Russia investigation months later, the report said. And so here, and after he was fired, he called Trump a mob boss. There you go. What do you think of all that?
Sounds evil to me.
Well, he's got these the very, very high-priced lawyers, and they're look for a real circus, but he's been saying some strange things. Now his son-in-law was fired from the DOJ, Department of Justice. His daughter was fired from the Department of Justice. That she was a prosecutor, anyhow, and so. Again, you know, I mean, this guy really did some stupid things. No, let's move on to this next article right here. And that one is massacred. U.S. Senator pushes to punish officials in Nigeria for allowing the persecution of Christians. In Nigeria, they decapitated 50 at one time, 50 Christians. But the article says U.S. Senator Ted Cruz is pushing for punishment for the officials in one nation, Nigeria, for allowing, perhaps even facilitating the persecution of Christians. Officials in Nigeria was ignoring and even facilitating the mass murder of Christians by Islamist jihadists, he said on social media. Since 2009, over 50,000 Christians have been massacred, and over 18,000 churches and 2,000 Christian schools have been destroyed, burnt. He warned that the death and destruction is the result of a decision made by specific people in specific places at specific times. He's talking about the government there in Nigeria. And so how do you think... How do you think he wants to punish them? I mean, he goes on to say, according to a report in Washington, Stan Cruz wants those responsible to be held accountable. He said he's proposed Nigerian Religious Freedom Accountability Act would provide punishment requiring the Secretary of State of Identity to identify Nigerian officials who have promoted, enacted or maintained Nigerian blasphemy laws, including those public advocacy legislative actions or executive enforcement directives, or tolerated violence by non-state actors involving religious justification to commit articles of violence. In other words, I would say yes, because what they've done over there, they're going after Christians. And I would, if I was Trump, I would authorize going in and taking those people out. What do you think?
Well, I'm not in the Situation Room. I don't know all the particulars, but it does sound like it's plausible.
Well, you know, see what's happening, Wendy. There's ignorance and apathy in this country. they don't realize there's actually more persecution of the church today than there has ever been, ever. And it's just not in this country. Biden wanted it. Biden wanted to persecute the Christians. Biden hated Christians, okay? And he even hated his own Catholic Church that he was a part of because it wasn't evil enough for him, okay? And so here, but we don't know, we don't realize just how good we've had it, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and it's up to us to come to their aid. And so I would say yes in that situation there, because there, what has taken place there, it's, you know, it's over 50,000 just in that few year period. Alrighty.
Unfortunately, I think we're being too nice in that scenario. I, as much as I have liked Ted Cruz in the past and I want to like him, he's shown me in the past week or two that he doesn't care as much about the United States as he leads on to be. I don't believe the United States needs to insert itself as a world police. However, I think a bigger thing that we could do in this situation to show that we do not approve of this, and we have outspokenly spoke against it as a nation for over a year now, is cut ties with them and consider them an enemy of the United States if this persecution continues. I don't think Ted Cruz going in there and playing world police is going to help anything. I don't think it's going to change any hearts and minds, especially when he sat here the other day and said, hey, we all need to come together and leave the pedophiles alone in the United States. That's not the man I'm going to vote for anymore. And I think as a nation, we start moving away from nations that are persecuting Christians.
Now, wait a minute. What do you mean he said we got to come together and leave the pedophiles alone?
Ted Cruz, quote from September 30th, actually, so a little over a week ago now. He says, quote, how about we all come together and stop attacking pedophiles?
That doesn't make a lot of sense. Who's attacking pedophiles?
Well, I would assume it has something to do with everybody still rallying behind the release of the Epstein files and rallying behind the fact that there's an epidemic of child sex trafficking in the United States. I don't think that a lot of the politicians realize that this is as big of an issue in day-to-day life for American citizens as they'd like it to be.
Because I've heard Cruz speaking out, you know, very harshly against the human trafficking, the child sex trafficking.
And I have, too.
And so that would be totally out of his character to make such a statement like that. But I know he was one of those that also was under that Operation Arctic Frost, who they went into his emails, his background, his bank accounts, everything, they went into it. And so, anyhow, guess what time it is? It's the most time for the most important part of this program. So I'm going to start with you, too. Wendy, if you wanted to tell someone about how when they die that they're going to go to heaven or hell, how would you do it?
Well, I'd try to ask them if they believed in hell first, and if not, I'd try to explain that to them.
Well, that would be a good idea.
You know, there's just one or two places you're going to end up. So, I think Jesus explained that to the two guys on the cross next to him, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He made it pretty clear. The one realized that, he said, this day, you know, you'll be with me in paradise. And
right.
The other one didn't end well for the other one, the one on the left.
No.
Huh? The one on the right ended up with the Lord, yeah. What about you?
Go ahead. I don't know. Sometimes I get frustrated trying to explain stuff to people. I mean, I wish they would just read Scripture.
Yeah, I know a lot of them, that's too simple for them. I would just say, look, for those ones that say, you know, I don't really believe in heaven or hell, and I would say, yeah, but listen to this. Here's reality. You will. There's absolutely no chance at all that you're not going to become a believer. I know this for an absolute, total fact, you know, that because there's no unbelievers in heaven or hell. Everyone, both in heaven or hell, are believers. And you are going to, you'll be a believer. Believe me, there's no chance that you won't. You see, just like you might not believe in dying. A lot of people say, I don't think I'm going to die. But you know what? You're going to die. It's happened every day. And the last act of living is dying, right? And show me someone who was here 200 years ago. They're not here now, you know, because they died. And so when you die, and see, and let me tell you who knows all about that, and that's God. He makes it very clear. You know, God is omniscient. I mean, he's all knowledgeable. All knowledge actually comes from him. And he says that you're going to die. And you are. And when that happens, the Bible says, absent from the body, for believers, present with the Lord, for unbelievers, boy, it's not so good. No, it doesn't work that well. So, anyhow, you end up in hell, which is, how would you define hell, Wendy?
Well, it's the furthest place from God. I think I'd start there.
Well, yeah, it's a torment. Hell is a place of torment, okay, mm-hmm. of eternal torment. Death, the definition of death is absence, the absence of God, being absent from God. That's death.
I know, that's torment enough, isn't it, not being with him.
Yeah. So that's what I would tell people. Here's what God says. It's very simple. It's not complicated. The simplicity of the gospel, he makes it real clear. What you're believed to do out there, if you're listening to me right now, that means you're still alive. Okay, and if you're still alive, that means that at some point you're no longer going to be alive. And so what you need to do is you need to be prepared. It's not a tragedy to die. Everybody dies. But what you want to make sure is that you're born twice, and you only die once. You only want to die once, because those that are born once and die twice, again, things don't end very well for them. They never end. It's torment. So here's what God says. Jesus says, pray to his Father. Ask for forgiveness of your sin. Acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner and you need a Savior. And God will always honor that, those commitments. And so, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus. Ask him to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, completely and totally, with no reservations. You got to go. Remember, when he hung on that cross, he put you up front. He esteemed you higher than himself. Now it's your turn to esteem him. And once you've done that, you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. How do I know? Well, I've got God's word on that. And, you know, there's nothing stronger or more sure or more absolute than the word of God. That is just plain reality. And whether you believe it or not, if you don't, you will. So, Wendy, thanks for being here with us here tonight.
My pleasure. And, thank you for having me.
We're out of time. Again, remember, her phone number is 866-229-3663. We want to say God bless, good night, and always, 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 let's do it.
Keep
ready? Fighting the fight.
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 Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.